Hey, have you read XXX Zombies?
I did.
It's good. Did you read Fear Agent?
I've read some of Fear Agent.
What do you got? You want to pimp some stuff?
We can move over to Rick here.
Yeah.
You want to? I'll hand it over to Devin too.
Huge. I'm a huge Rick Remender.
This is. Now we'll leave Matt alone.
I'm finishing a sketch. It's almost done. It kind of sucks.
Let me first off mention Rick.
Please do.
Last year you were here at Heroes Con.
Yes, I was.
I didn't know who you were.
No, why would you?
I don't know, but Devin here did.
Devin, clearly a little bit smarter.
He was. Devin said, you know, let's interview Rick Remender, and I said, who the hell is Rick Remender?
Sure.
And now I'm regretting this.
Yes, you're because, an asshole, and you're a silly man.
I have now read much of your stuff.
As well,
and
you should.
And now I'm going to hand off to Devin since he's way superior to me in the Rick
Remender. I like Devin way better already. He and I are going to have a kid.
Sweet. Yeah, so you just finished up Hatchet Job, or it just finished up.
Yeah.
Not you just finished up.
Yeah.
And the next one's about to start, right?
The next one comes out on Wednesday.
And what's the name of that?
It's Eye Against Eye, and this is Tony Moore's return to the series.
Sweet.
And we will be, basically, there was an idea at the very beginning of the series, and it was one of the things that gave birth to Fear Agent in general. And you know, you can write an outline in 7 pages that will literally take you 22 to 25 issues of comic book to get to the end of.
Right.
To do it competently. And by the time we told the origin, by the time we hopped around, we're finally getting to the point where you see what the result of the reignition arc is.
Okay.
Where Heath was thrown back 100 million years in time.
Yeah. And then stomped on.
And then stomped on and cloned and all that stuff. Well, that story was intended, so many other things had to happen to build to the result of that story.
Right.
But Eye Against Eye is that result. And it's also,
nice.
Like with The Last Goodbye, Tony and I wanted to take our love of war comics and infuse it with sci-fi.
Right. Right.
And with Eye Against Eye, we're taking our love of Western films.
Oh, sweet.
And infusing that in. So it's like a Leone spaghetti Western.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Told through the pencil of Wally Wood, you know. And that's sort of the aesthetic we're going for.
And it's good Tony's going to be back because he's awesome on it.
Yeah, Jerome is equally awesome.
Yeah, but I've enjoyed it just as much.
But it's nice, you know, it's nice to hop back and forth.
It's
a treat to see either one of those guys. They have very different strengths.
Yeah.
But what they both have is the storytelling. They're two of the best storytellers in comics, and it's.
They do a really good job, especially with, you know, you're writing and everything just kind of comes together.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun doing the book.
Yeah, and it comes through, man. You know, you can tell. I mean, it's always a fun read.
Thanks, man.
I mean, it's one of those books that, you know, you always really look forward to.
That means a lot to me. The people who read it, the fans we've got, have made the trades. We're in our fourth printing of the first trade.
Right.
And it's been, you know, it's been a whirlwind. It's just great. It's great to see, you know, because it's a word of mouth thing where people who are digging it are getting other people in.
And
the trades are, just to be on the fourth print, we never expected it would go that far. So.
Yeah, my roommate picked it up and handed it to me and was like, he's like, man, you got to read it. It's awesome. It's Die Hard in space.
That's not a bad pitch.
So it was awesome. And what's the deal with Tales of the Fear Agent?
Tales of the Fear Agent is it's a collection, and there's going to be more of them.
Okay.
That are the stories between the time when the aliens invaded Earth and Heath left Earth.
Right.
And then 10 years later when we begin the reignition storyline,
yeah,
it's the story of what happens in those 10 years.
Okay.
So as Heath is making his dailies as an alcoholic alien exterminator in space,
right,
these are the stories that happen. And there's 3 22-page stories written by me.
Okay.
And I didn't want it to be an anthology. I wanted it to be a companion piece that was necessary for we're almost sold out of the first print run because of that. I think the response to it has been, you know, anthologies are fun.
Yeah.
But for a book like Fear Agent, it's necessary, I think, if you're going to have a companion piece like that, that the stories fill in gaps of the regular series.
Right.
So the Tales of the Fear Agent collects issues 11, issue 16, and then the MySpace Presents Dark Horse story that Kieran and I did.
Because I think I've got 11 and 16. I didn't see any of the MySpace stuff or anything like that. So.
And the other stuff is all the 6 and 8 page stories that were done by guys like Steve Niles and Ivan Brandon and all the shorts.
Awesome.
Kind of complete it. So, yeah.
Awesome. So y'all are going to keep going with the same formats you got going right now where it's like the little 4 or 5 part storyline. Kind of the way they're putting it out, same way like BPRD or whatever.
Right, but
BRPD.
We put the... For Fear Agent, people were getting a little bit confused since it didn't start off as a BPRD format thing.
Right.
And so on The Last Goodbye, we had just the mini numbering, and on the inside front cover, it had the ongoing numbering.
Right.
And I received bags and bags, you know, emails and emails of requests that we put the numbering back on because people didn't know where they felt, you know, where things fell in continuity.
Right.
So we went back to doing both. So if you look on the covers now, it'll say, it'll have the mini numbering 1 of 6, but the ongoing number is on there as well. And there's been a tremendous reaction to that because people know where things fall in continuity, but they also know where they're at in the arc.
Right. I noticed in your letters column on one issue, you told a guy you liked the cut of his jib.
The cut of his jib? Yeah, sure.
Where did you get that from?
Isn't it just a cliche?
Where did that come from, Rick?
I think it's an Irish dance, and I think it's an old folk saying that. Use that. I use shenanigans quite a bit.
Right.
I'm trying to, as hard as I can, to talk like my grandparents.
Yeah.
And so I'm bringing that back. You know, like there's always that 20-year rule. Where, like, whatever's 20 years old is cool again.
Yeah.
Well, I go 100 years back. So I'm going back for, like, the, you know, soon the 20s will be coming, and I'll be going, like, moxie and things like that. It'll be big words.
Which is also kind of weird because it's also sort of a British saying about you like the cut of somebody's wang.
Their wang?
Yeah.
I'm married to an English woman, and I have not heard that one. I'm sorry.
That's not going to get you
middle of the interview.
Well, awesome, man. And so what's the deal with Adam?
When I took on the Adam, it was on the verge of cancellation.
Right.
But they said, you know, we've got X, Y, and Z we want to accomplish with the series.
Mm-hmm.
And had the numbers magically gone up 20,000,
yeah,
you know, it would probably still be around. But, you know, there's a limited appeal for the character, as great as the character is and as much potential as there is for the character. I pretty much knew that it was going to be, you know, in a 5-issue, have fun with it deal.
Right. So it's got one more issue, right?
25 is the last issue.
Okay.
And then Pat Olaf and I will be doing a Booster Gold arc.
Right.
And then beyond that, I'm not quite sure I can talk about it, but there's more stuff, big stuff coming up that I'll be doing at DC while Matt and I will be doing the Punisher. And then I've got Legion of the Supernatural at IDW, a new ongoing with Brett Blevins.
Okay.
And that was announced on Newsroom on Friday.
Yeah.
Sort of a love letter to Creepy and Eerie. Brett's going to be painting the whole thing.
Nice.
I got Gigantic with Eric Nguyen starting in October, and that's Dark Horse.
Cool.
The End League goes monthly in issue 5. Eric Canetti joins us.
Yeah, yes. Awesome book as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've really been enjoying that.
I'm really excited to be taking that monthly. And Canetti is quitting his job as art director at Cartoon Network to take on the monthly position.
Oh, cool.
It was going bi-monthly and has been so far, and it's hard for readers to get a flow. And the book's done gangbusters. I mean, we've sold the shit out of it. But the difficulty is for me in writing something where it's that infrequent. There's a flow that has to happen.
Right.
And when it becomes, I know that for reading it, when something becomes a little too much time passes, there's a reason monthly is the format for most singles.
Okay.
Because if it goes longer than that, you easily forget what you were reading. And the momentum's killed, so it's nice to get the thing back and put it on a monthly schedule.
Yeah. What now? Strange Girl, is that done?
That is. Volume 4 is the last trade paperback, and that came out, I believe, about 6-7 weeks ago.
Okay, so it's all finished up.
Yeah, yeah.
So now you just got your independent stuff, and then Fear Agent, and
I've got at this point, I've got 4 ongoing minis, and then I've got the Marvel and DC stuff.
Now, let me say that I did come across a couple things that Devin has not quite dipped into yet.
Okay.
And that would be, first off, Sorrow.
Oh, very good, yes.
With one of my favorite artists, Francesco Francavilla.
Yeah, Francesco's great. I mean, that book was basically written for him just to let him draw cute girls running around with, you know, monsters and wild men chasing them.
Yeah, I'll definitely love that book. I don't really have any questions because I'm just in this mode right now where I'm just like, you're so cool, man, and I don't know what that's about. But also, Triple X Zombies, man.
Thank you. Yeah.
Did you have to, like, was there some sort of thing you just had to release from your brain?
Oh, I was just thanking you for saying the name Triple X Zombies.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, Triple X Zombies. Thank you.
Well, I don't know what else to have.
Yes, comic book.
I don't know what else to call it. Is it just...
Triple X Zombies.
Because
I was actually thanking you for getting it right.
You know?
Triple X Zombies.
But it's hard to really get that across on audio.
Right. No, Triple X Zombies is what we're calling it, and that's the... That's basically Boogie Nights of the Living Dead. That's our and Kieran and I have never had. We've been working together for about 10 years now, and we've never had more fun than that. For fans of Triple X Zombies, Kieran and I did a book called Blackheart Billy a few years back. That's being re-cleaned up and colored and put out by IDW in October as well.
Okay.
So and then they're also putting out another book Kieran and I did called Nightmare, which if you haven't read, IDW is putting that back out in October.
Yeah.
And Nightmare is something that. Top of my list of things I'm proud of. You know, it's second only to Fear Agent. So I hope that when that comes out in October, people can give that a shot.
And just to continue my trend of just commenting about your work, that was one of the coolest endings. The Triple X Zombies had one of the coolest endings I've ever read in books. I mean, it just like, I don't know, it came out of nowhere. It definitely did. And I think that's like an ending that would piss a lot of people off.
Sure.
But I just, it was very different. I mean, what made you take that? Is that just because is that what the story was, or what made you take that approach?
Well, we had, you know, when you're writing something like that, you got the general beats. We had three different endings to choose from.
Yeah.
And one of them was happier, and the other two were equally ugly. And it was going to be ugly.
Yeah.
I didn't want that to end with a bunch of people smiling and Scott getting laid by the beautiful Jenny and everything being good. It needed to be ugly, ugly, ugly. It needed to be schlocky grindhouse. It needed to be a B-film. Uh-huh. And in that sense, it was going to be... For me, if I know, you know, like where I don't think anybody expected where that story went, and that's the ultimately the challenge.
That's
to tell a good story and that keeps turning in ways that you don't expect. Because if it's on a trajectory that I am anticipating, I for one don't enjoy the story. So we wanted to make sure that we threw a pie at everybody who was reading it and said hello.
Now, when writing something so shocking, which it is...
Nunhead.
Do you try to...
The only appearance of Nunhead in comics that I know of.
Do you try to top yourself when you're writing that, or are you just having fun with it? I mean,
well, Kieran did a book called Lowest Comic Denominator about 6-7 years ago, which is the most vile, repugnant, wonderful thing ever, and I contributed to that. And Kieran and I are we're damaged, hollow humans who it's almost as if we're fetishists who need to start doing more things with feces in order to achieve orgasm, but instead it's we need to talk about uglier things in order to make each other laugh. And we've shared a studio together for about 8 years, and so as that progresses, we become more and more perverse to push the line of, you know, how are we going to get a laugh or a rise out of each other. And Triple X Zombies is sort of a natural progression of that. Yeah. As we're writing something, and then while we're working on it, I'd go, hey, you know what, I called Fraction, or we were IMing one night, and I was like, I'm stuck. I don't know how to make this a horrible thing. And Matt with the newborn says, well, what about babies?
Oh, God. I laughed for like 10 minutes. This is the hardest I've ever laughed reading a comic in my life. And whenever I showed it to everybody else, they were just like, you were laughing at this? And I'm like, yes, man.
It's so horrible. It's intended to be laughed at. You know, I'm glad to hear that you did.
Now, Matt was in that collaboration panel. And you work a lot with Kieran. I mean, how do you guys get along when you collaborate? How closely do you guys actually work together?
Well, because we've shared a studio together for so long, I think we're well past the point of fighting. You know, and that does happen in most collaborations. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, Matt and I are like-minded retards, and so we get along really well co-writing as well.
Yeah.
But the collaborative process isn't always perfect. Yeah. I've been in. I guess in my entire adult, you know, professional career, I've had one that was a big misfire.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it comes down to being able to sort of gauge what you're married to and what you're not.
Yeah.
And if you're really married to an idea, to be willing to entertain that the other person might not like it, and that you're going and that you're both open-minded enough to delve into arguing about it, and arguing does bring about a solution. You know, if you're like-minded, you know, intelligent, cool-headed people, you'll hear the better idea. And if it's better than yours, after the debate, you can get your head around it. Hi, Matt.
Listen, I just got this delicious bag of nachos.
But the creative process. And then, you know, if you're right. Matt, I'm
luckily
doing my
earlier
interview
Matt
now.
Matt was distracted earlier, luckily, so we were able to get a pretty clean interview from Rick.
I don't want any more chips. No, I don't want it. So then everybody makes a comic book and everyone's happy. The end.
I'm good.
Hey, thanks a lot, Rick.
You're very welcome.
You got anything else you want to throw out there?
Do I have anything to add?
Hoot, turd.
No, I am absolutely fried. I have no wit left.
Excellent. Thanks a lot.
You're very welcome. Thank you.